Thank you very much. I want to show you in the next half an hour that even such a simple topic as migrating from one stable Samba to the next stable Samba can be not so trivial. Partially because of the technology and partially because people use it, work with it, and make mistakes. So I want to present you a case study, which is actually very current. It's an ongoing project. When I submitted this talk, the project was supposed to have been finished by now. That is not the case. The project is ongoing. We finished the major test migration, and we now have to wait for some changes in the field. It's mostly hardware related to actually do the production migration. But everything I'm going to say now is actually true and tested, and I think it's still interesting to look at that, because the actual production migration will be for sure a lot of hassle and a lot of stress, but we don't expect any new surprises on that, except maybe users, but they don't count here. Don't we all like to work in a user-free environment? So, in short, the agenda. Seamless migration, what does it mean? I'll talk about the customer, about his general migration scenario, what are they doing, the challenges we had to face, the solutions we found, and of course, I also would like to point out some lessons we learned during this migration. Basically, a seamless migration, and what it says on this slide, is independent of Samba, it's just a general piece of wisdom, means we have to keep the domain SID, we have to keep user and machine RIDs, like the relative user IDs. We have to keep, very importantly actually, the machine account password hashes, because if you don't keep those, then all your machines, all your computers and workstations in your domain, they suddenly will not talk to your domain controller, which is very funny. And very important is to keep the logon scripts or at least the drive assignments, because if you spend your last 5 years to train your users to save their files on H, and then that changes, you have to spend another 5 years to train them to save their files on G. So what for? Nice to have also if the user account password hashes don't change, so users, they don't have to get used to new passwords. Server and share names should stay the same. If your users know about them, if they don't know about them, then you also can change them accordingly with the changes in the logon scripts. And what you do in the backend in the management is actually all new. You can do that what you want. And in my case, we will achieve a very big improvement actually on the management side, which till now has been very poor. If you have questions, please interrupt me at any moment. I hope we'll also have time in the end. The customer is a regional hospital in the city of Eberswalde in the state of Brandenburg, northeast of Berlin. The hospital is called Klinikum Barnim. They're actually quite big, having 450 beds, 14 wards. They employ about 1,000 people, and only a third of them is in the hospital at any given moment because they go on a three-shift duty cycle. As all modern hospitals, they're totally dependent on IT. If the IT system doesn't work, nothing goes. Operating theaters, wards, the simple communication between a nurse that took a blood sample and the result from the lab, it's all electronic nowadays, and even though they have fallback systems using fax or even messengers, these are really not convenient, and they all get very pissed if the system doesn't work. On top of that, the hospital provides services for external customers in the region, being other hospitals or also private clinics in the surrounding area that use the facilities of the hospital. Actually, they recently bought a couple of other regional hospitals, so they're actually going to increase their staff and their whole IT system. But for the time being, what we're doing is still concentrated on this one location. But we have to keep in mind that there are other locations that also would play a role in the near future. Maybe a bit unusual, at least for the German hospital market, is that this hospital tries to do as much as possible using Linux and Linux-based systems. Unfortunately, of course, this is mostly restricted to back-end systems, but most of the back-end systems, they do run on SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 8, and we also have a PDC that is running a Heartbeat BRBD cluster, very similar to what you have seen in the previous talk, and this construction actually has caused a lot of grief, because it was set up so that it just from time to time would shoot itself in the foot, which leads to the total failure of the total system. Just to point out, don't use DRBD in a production environment. It's nice for tests, it's nice as a toy. Don't use it for any production environment, and if you use it, please use a RAID disk under the DRBD. Otherwise, any disk failure you have will be guaranteed to be replicated to the other side and continue to haunt you there. They have 5 major file servers also running Samba 2.2, which are used for various things like office files, or also like the dictates of the radiology department, where they dictate the patient's reports into the system. So if this server fails even for 1 second, somebody somewhere will shout and curse the system because his dictate would have to be started anew. So these are really systems that shouldn't break it any at all. Very interesting for hospital, they don't have user accounts, they have only functional accounts, they have an account for each ward, or maybe for the lab they have 3 accounts and so on. So even though they have 1,000 users, they actually have less than 100 actual user accounts. They don't do any advanced stuff like UID management, no ACLs, no user groups, of course Samba 2.2 doesn't support them. And the user management is very Unix-like. So they just use the standard Unix commands like we did 10 years ago. They also have very funny individual logon scripts for each user, which makes their netlogon share very messy. And also it makes adding a new user very messy because you have to think who is it going to be and what does he need. And of course propagating changes to the logon script is also a big work. In general, we help these people for about a little bit over 2 years now. And part of what we're doing there is a general migration of /8 to /9, and also a general migration of everything possible onto a VMware ES6 system. Currently there are 2 servers, soon there will be 3 servers, the third one is just now being delivered, and actually because of the delay of this migration. And the hospital chose to use VMware as a high availability solution, thus replacing all kind of previous clusters that were troublesome, because we showed them that using VMware it's very easy to get high availability without any additional overhead concerning configuration or any bother in this area. We migrated all file servers as is into VMware, meaning we just did a kind of P2V physical to virtual migration, and they continued to run there unchanged, and everybody got very happy because they suddenly run much faster and smoother than they did before on their own hardware. And regarding this migration, we plan to do a 3-step migration. The first step will be to migrate the old PDC that now runs on this DRBD cluster into 2 systems, one being a PDC and the other one being a file server. It was a combined system, and we of course changed that to have a clean PDC that does only the logon stuff, and then to have a file server for the actual file serving that was previously done by the PDC. Of course, all into virtual machines. The second step will be to migrate the remaining file servers. It's just a basic operating system migration, /8 to /9. And third step would be to look into extra features like Win replication, Win slaves, LDAP slaves, and so on. In the beginning, we want to keep the system very simple so that also the local administrators can immediately start using it. For the user management, we will have a Samba 3 PDC obviously running on an LDAP backend. It's a virtual machine, so we don't need to do any clustering. The ES6 environment will provide this clustering. Should one hardware fail, the other hardware will just pick up where the virtual machine and continue to run. It's just like switching it off and switching it on again. And that's actually all that any heartbeat cluster will give you. If one hardware actually fails, you still have to recover the file system and start the application on the other side. And we have the same level of availability, which is sufficient for this scenario, and it will be just enough. Maybe in a later stage we would think about adding some kind of BDC, though I think we probably might not even do it, because the VMware environment has run exceedingly stable in this place. The user management will be improved. Obviously, LDAP backends means I can have nice GUIs like LDAP Account Manager and so on. We all know them. The file servers, there will also be LDAP-based Ember server, standard procedure, look at the nice documentation that people like John Wolf for Samba, and it's all just there. Of course, in the future, we will also be integrating other services into LDAP, so actually it was part of the motivation to do this migration to also establish an LDAP directory for the hospital, for all the users, that can then be used for other services too. The challenges are actually quite hard to meet, because in the hospital, you don't have a downtime. You just don't have it. In the hospital, they have operations going on all the time, they have emergencies all the time. The wards, the ICU, the intensive care unit, they just work all the time, there's no break. Nobody goes home for Sunday. I mean, people would like to, but they don't. So they have a service window every Tuesday evening, which is open for about 2 or 3 hours, so we have to do the actual migration within the service window. That's also the reason why we decided to set up a rather large test environment and spend a lot of time on testing and trying again the migration and finding all kinds of possible errors. And I have to tell you, even just now, 1 hour ago, I found another error which I didn't see before. So it's a problem, you have to do tests. And if you don't do tests, you will fail, it's guaranteed. Of course, you can't clone everything for this test environment. The entire data space is about 0.5 terabytes. We can't clone that for a test. So the test will be limited, but we still hope sufficiently extensive. Again, the seamless migration is a must. It's impossible that we do the migration and then within these 2 hours visit 350 computers and rejoin them to the domain. It's just impossible. We don't have the manpower. And also some computers are inaccessible, for instance, in an operating theater. You just can't walk in and work on the computer. You have to scrub first, clean yourself, and so on, because it's a clean environment. They also have a segmented network, means WINS plays a heavy role. It's an important service and will thus be part of the tests and of the migration too. Logon script migration, of course, we do in the test environment. Group management, they have to build, means I will take some people of the customer and ask them, please sort your users into groups. They didn't do that before, they didn't have groups, obviously. So it's a new area where they have to work. And on top of that, we actually migrate all the IP range, because they had been using a wrong IP range belonging to some public IP range, and we're migrating that to a private IP range, also partially amongst this migration. Actually, I have to say that migrating IPs under Samba is very simple, because the only IP that actually counts is the WINS IP. Everything else goes automatically from the WINS server. So once you have any idea how to migrate your WINS IP, like distributed over DHCP or whatever, then you have a fairly safe path to migrating the IP range that you're using. The solutions we found are based on, so far, Samba 3.0.14a, because that's the stable version. Yesterday, Jerry convinced me to go to Samba 3.0.22, so now we'll start to test that, and I hope it will work fine so that we can actually do the production migration with that. I would be a bit skeptical about using the then-to-come Samba 3.0.23, because I usually suspect there would be some bugs, and I would wait a little bit. I see Jeremy's nodding, so I'm probably right there. The LDAP server runs on the PDC. It's a standard, simple setup, nothing special. SMB LDAP tools doing all the backend work. We created a new domain with the same SID. It's all just tweaking the LDAP files you're using there. And the only actual real work I had to do was create a custom script that would convert from the old passwd file and the SMB passwd file into a nice big LDAP file that I can then put into the LDAP server to contain all the old users and machine accounts. If you want, I can show you the script. It's actually very short and very simple, but I didn't find any suitable script on the internet, so I decided to roll my own. Maybe there are some, but I didn't find them. So sometimes faster to create than to search for many hours. We have to copy and sync the data, which is 20 gigs, not so much. Create groups, big jobs, sort users into groups. That will be a very big and important job. And accordingly, create new logon scripts in the test environment. The new logon scripts will use Kickstart. I can only recommend it to everybody who doesn't yet use it or something similar. And we then hope, and it actually proved to be true in the test environment, that we can just switch off the old PDC, start the new PDC with the old IP address, and it works. And that's actually the test environment we're doing, and it does work like that. Jeremy?
No.
Crossing your fingers. Well, it's a test environment, so if it goes wrong, I just do it again. But thanks to my script and thanks to the SMB elder populate, which made me a nice LDAP to populate the directory, it's actually a 5-minute process to rebuild the whole system from scratch, which is very good for tests. The solution for the file server looks similar. We have a standard symbol set up using the LDAP backend for ID mapping, of course, and the normal RPC member server stuff. For the other communication, to exchange the operating system of a /8 Samba server is very simple, because in the virtual machines we have always two hard disks. One hard disk with the operating system and the other hard disk with the actual data. So doing that swap means shutting down the machine, changing the configuration to use a new system hard disk with a pre-configured /9 system, booting up the machine, and that's it. Because I didn't migrate any data, just changed the operating system by plugging in a new hard disk. And that's actually one of the advantages of using VMware, because in real hardware you would be really pushed hard to do that, juggling with hard disks and so on. It's not very convenient. So in the VMware virtualized environment, it's just a name of a file that I attach to the virtual machine. Of course, then I have to change on the data on the data hard disk to match the new global UID scheme that we established. Because on the previous file servers, they all had local IDs and nothing was synchronized over all the domain. And probably do a set FACL to the new groups that will then be in charge and allowed to write into certain data directories. Currently, they just use things like admin user equals and then whatever user has the right to write there. And this is, of course, a totally wrong approach, so we're going to change that. The test itself looks like that. First of all, please remember, the road to success is paved in tests. If you don't test, you're going to stumble. If you stumble, you're going to fail and hit your nose very bloody. So please do all tests and as many tests as you can. And if you go to a customer and do a migration there, I always recommend take at least 2 to 4 days just for testing and explain to the customer why it's worthwhile to pay for this testing instead of then suffering 2 to 4 days with a non-functioning domain, which is usually much more expensive. About 5 virtual machines make up the test lab, the PDC and the Wind server, the file server, and a couple of Windows clients that we just plugged over from the production system to the test area, using the same IP addresses just to show that the whole machine account thing works. And that's actually not an issue at all, because it just worked from the first attempt. Also, we actually now start to think about doing some tests with live machines that work in parallel to the old system, because the old system actually uses only WINS as a mean to find the servers. So if you change the WINS server, then we can connect, like seemingly migrate a client from one Samba domain using one WINS server to a completely different Samba domain with another WINS server that just happens to have the same SID and RID, so that the machine would just happen to plug in nicely. And we're actually going to try that too, to use more clients as a test environment. Actually, the big part of the test lab is also to develop the groups and the logon scripts and all the surrounding infrastructure that you need to successfully run a domain. The final migration then will be hopefully just to synchronize everything one last time. That's why I wrote the script, so that I can again synchronize hashes and stuff like that. And actually what I discovered this morning was that the customer had double user and UID mix-ups, like 2 users with the same UID, which were then led to the same Samba SID. Now, on a Samba 2.2 machine, this actually works, because nobody checks it. On a Samba 3 machine, especially if you use LDAP, that doesn't work, because Samba 3 does an LDAP search, and if it gets more than one result, it just blocks. And you get a nice error message in the log file, at least at level 10, that tells you that there's more than one result for this and that search, and that's impossible. So that's one thing I'll have to script also, to actually check for double UIDs, for double SIDs, to make sure that there's no mix-up in this area, and then just create new ones for the new users. Actually, it's not so crucial because they even don't have roaming profiles, so we don't have any trouble in that area too. Well, then we turn the test file server and the production file server, just use everything that was test as production, switch off the old stuff, and that's it. And quickly verify all logon scripts, because that's actually the area where we expect most of the trouble, because that's the thing we can't really test in the test environment, because we don't have all file servers available in the test environment that then would be needed in the production environment. And just one word about LDAP-based user management. They will be using LDAP Account Manager, which got very usable in the recent version 1.0.1. They also will be using User Manager for Domains as a Windows-based solution. And on the Linux backend, of course, the SMB LDAP tools, they just do the work very well, and I haven't seen any trouble with them. So I think this is a very stable technology. Future features would include, of course, Samba for Winds, which I hope to explore more in this talk being given soon today, because I think that having a replicated redundant Winds environment paralleling their replicated and redundant DNS environment is one of the crucial things to actually increase availability of the whole infrastructure. Then we will start to have personal user accounts for all 1,000 users, which obviously you can't do in a simple local setup using SMB PassWDO. I mean, it works, but it's a hassle. And if you have LDAP and nice GUI management tools, then it's actually no trouble at all to do that. And it's also very easy to provision lots of accounts automatically. We will, parallel with the creation of these 1,000 user accounts, also start the integration with the other services, because their mail service obviously has personal user accounts. They're now about at 800 there. And I hope that we will soon get something like Samba 4AD or Samba 3.2 or whatever that offers more ADS-like features, the reason being that they now go very much in the direction of Citrix servers using to enable people to work remotely, especially in light of the recent merger they've done with several other hospitals, so that they're now centralizing departments. And of course, the Windows administrators doing these Citrix things, they just come to me and beg for ADS and for ADS features and especially group policies, because everybody who studied how to do Citrix just believes that you can't do Citrix without group policies, which is of course bullshit, but they just believe it. And it's very hard to prove them or to show them that they actually can run a Citrix farm without group policies by just using normal NT4 policies or just not using any policies at all, or maybe setting up a little ADS just for the machine account management and then having machine policies and not having user policies and so on. So it's all a little bit complex, and the sooner Samba would be able to provide some kind of group policies, I mean natively, not some kind of emulation which is already available on the market, then it would be a real benefit to this customer, and I'm sure that this customer would be one of the first to do a migration in the direction of the next Samba step. Proper subdomains with other hospitals that already have ADS, trust accounts, forests and all this stuff also would be nice to have, because I expect that about next year we'll start to merge actually the user account management with the other hospitals they recently acquired. So again, that's a push to have something ADS-like in Samba, because I have to tell you, this is a very rare customer. All other hospitals we have as a customers, they use Windows and only Windows, and they don't even think about Samba, because they have so many systems that rely on Windows account management that they don't want to bother with a tool like Samba that just does the same job but not so convenient by their perception. And they don't see the actual strengths and benefits of Samba. And they have Windows administrators who need group policies, who need MMC and nice point and click and forget and so on. And as long as we can't offer that, we won't get into this market. And that's why I actually also wanted to present you this customer, because it's one of the very rare occasions that a hospital is using a Samba PDC as the main backend for its infrastructure. Lessons learned in this migration is that even though it looks simple, Samba 3 and LDAP is a complex system with many pitfalls. The skills you need are essential, especially in the Linux and LDAP environment. Samba skills are not so difficult here. Really, it's the LDAP thing, the Linux thing, backend stuff, how to set it up all together, especially if you then look into SSL and LDAP, which is a whole chapter of its own. I have to say that adding new member servers to this domain is too complex. I mean, in Windows, you install a server, you say join, and it's done. Here you have to set up LDAP, NSS LDAP, Samba, join the Samba, change NS switch conf, and so on and so on and so on. It's a whole hassle. And I'm sure that this customer won't do it alone. They would ask me to do it, and this is actually bad. I would like them to be able to set up new file servers themselves and have some kind of easy point-and-click issue about joining a new domain. So maybe that's something that might be even added to Samba 3, some kind of back-end wrapper script, like what to do on a domain join. And then this backend script would do the actual modifications in the file system and the configuration files. I didn't find any how-to. Please. Sure, but I think still somebody has to provide some kind of hook. Well, okay, it's a question who triggers what. But
right.
That's right. Right. Actually, you're the Novell guy, so. Anyway, this is just things that I would like to point out. I also didn't find a how-to that was describing exactly my situation, like how to go from 2.2 to 3.0 with LDAP. In the official documentation, there's a very short chapter that says you can just migrate and it will continue to work. But there's no chapter that says how to go to the good kind of setup, like how to go to the optimum setup. And hopefully I'll be able to write something up, maybe in the new wiki that was mentioned yesterday that I wasn't aware of. And if so, then there you will find my script and some notes about how I was doing this project. But the final conclusion is still that Samba 3 is the best SIF server available, and I would always choose it over any other solution, even despite all these little hardships we had to face here. And the wish list for Samba 3 obviously is easy to install, out-of-the-box system, just point and click and shoot, that's what we want. Easy integration of member service, BDC support, and of course the full ADS feature set, but that's really just a wish list. So thank you very much for your attention. I think we have maybe 1 or 2 minutes for questions. If you want to see the script, I can put it on the screen. Otherwise, it's very simple, just a little shell magic and the Linux. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So we have 30 minutes break now.
Okay, are there any questions before we break up?
Yeah, that was would have been my next sentence. Okay. So we have some time to ask questions.
Please.
Yeah, so we've already mentioned the lack of documentation on this specific upgrade. But what else did we do wrong in getting the upgrade from Samba 2.2 to 3.0? And I'm asking so that when we consider upgrade paths, because we're constantly having to change things and we're getting correctly the brand new reading from them. What can we do better as in writing Samba, as doing the development, what can we do better to make the arrays work smoother? I mean, do you have any suggestions, specific issues?
Yes, I personally think that the current situation where Samba basically outsources the whole LDAP management issue to some backend scripts is just unnecessary. I don't understand why Samba can't manage the LDAP settings and the data in the LDAP directory directly itself. Why do I have to deal with SMB LDAP? Why do I have to deal with all kind of external things that are not necessary? I mean, there is no discussion about the schema, about the schema. I mean, there is one schema that works, and that's it. I mean, I can extend the schema, okay, but the actual basic schema is just one, and that has to be used. So why can't I have a Samba server? Sorry, just let me finish the sentence. Why can't I have a Samba server connected to my LDAP server that's just empty, and then do something like net sam populate or whatever, what we've seen on some slide yesterday, and after that maybe net sam migrate smb pass wd LDAP or whatever like that, and it's migrated and sanity checked. Why do I have to do all this LDAP stuff myself? I mean, an ADS system, just call the comparison, also does it itself.
It's a lot harder than we saw, though. I really truthfully blame LDAP for most of the noise on the same list. I really do. And we have one thing.
building to get rid of the reason why. Because we don't have that. We agree with you. I don't know if that's a way to end up. We're not arguing. We're going to go, we're going to bring that inside somewhere. There's no reason why we have to try it.
Yeah, and I think.
There are reasons. No, I don't see there are reasons. I don't want to leave you in. So, what about that? So, what we've done in the newer version is we've added the ability for a particular path to be back in, and this will be in, it will be in the VS23 code, the capability for the plumbing won't be there yet, but the capability for the add user script, the add user to root script, all that has been moved into the path to be interface, so that a particular path to be back in can come back. So there it is. There is development, yeah, so there's development to write out the policy account information to all that. And then the other possibility is to do a single database backend that manages all the units account attributes and all the Windows attributes at the same time.
Like LDAP.
Do what?
Like LDAP.
Well, like LDAP, but on a single standalone box without having to check its password and things like that. So, it's a tough. It probably will be one option out of several. There will still be the ability to have the external scripts if you want them, but if you don't want them, then there will be some built-in support.
Really, so manageability is
something. I think this would be a major improvement to the current Samba version, because I have to say it's a needless hassle. Simply that, it's a needless hassle, and as you say, causes lots of support questions. And I think at least for standard environments like Samba PDC that runs its own domain, there should be some standardized solution that would be very simple to implement. It would also reduce the amount of configuration lines in my SMB conf file, you know? I mean, 20 lines are just for LDAP.
So, but you're not using LDAP for mail routing or for DNS or for, you know, other services as well.
No.
Oh.
Right. Right.
And that is, I think that is a very defined problem that we could solve.
People that want
to use LDAP for all sorts of applications, which is really more the intended use, is where we remove the problems.
So all I can say is,
I feel the push.
The push we did about is to make this part of the and we will be able to mix the really data back and making this migrator work because, you know, yeah, it's a pain to us on the Samba based system, that's critical. It's a cost to the world. So that is a very strong incentive to make this work out of the box.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that may be a vendor change, but that's.
Well, so there's one thing. So PDB edit, although it's an awful command line interface, it has the ability to import from one path PDB backend and write directly to another. So PDB edit can actually take an SMB password file and convert it into an LDAP error.
Yes, but it doesn't do the POSIX stuff.
Right.
It assumes that the POSIX stuff is already in the LDAP directory, which is why I couldn't use it here.
Right. Okay.
Which is why I wrote my own script, and neither I'm really going to show it because it's very simple. Windows is so slow. Yes, I also hope so. Can everybody see that? The script is actually really simple because all it does is it defines two templates, user template, where you see I even hard-coded my domain set in, and then just set some variables. Variables have underscore name, underscore. And then I define a computer template, just the same story. And then all I'm doing is some Unix magic to create one file out of passwd and SMB passwd. And if the user didn't give me a passwd, I can do it without. And convert a little bit and just pipe it into a read that then actually reads the data out of these files. And I use set to change the variables into the data and write it all out. And what you get is one large LDAP file that you can pipe into your directory. And this is, I think, a very simple tool. It took me about 1 hour to put it together and test it. That's what I love about Samba, it's actually being developed. unlike Windows. There was a question there, please. No. Flat. I mean, I have to tell you the truth. It would be purely eye candy because nothing is using this information. As far as I know, Novell eDirectory and actually NetWare and Client 32 stuff was the only system that really used the information that you could put into a hierarchical structure of organizational units. Even Active Directory doesn't use that properly. And so as long as we have the NT4 schematics and the NT4 principles, there's no point to have any hierarchical organization of the data because in the end it's just flat. And also the Unix side is flat and doesn't use anything that you could put into an organizational unit. And I mean, as long as there's no support for this kind of information in the actual field, I don't see any reason to organize my data like that. I mean, it would look nice in some tree-like management utility, but you don't need those actually if you don't have the data organized like that. Yeah. Yes, yes. But that's like all for big enterprise organizations. Yes, actually, he's bringing up a good point. Maybe at least the German people here would know that the hospitals till 2007 have to introduce a smart card and a smart card-based system for all patients and doctors. It's state mandated, and there are all kind of projects going on to integrate those smart cards with authentication systems in the IT infrastructure. So Windows and Active Directory actually has native support for smart card authentication, and I actually would recommend the Samba team to look into that too, because it will be a major issue in Germany in the next year, and we will lose projects if you don't support smart card authentication. Thank you very much again. I'm sorry that the time is over. And if there are any further questions, I'm also available afterwards. Thank you very much.